Mark chapter 5, an exciting chapter in the Bible. It starts with Jesus casting a legion of devils out of the maniac of Gadara. And you remember the story. He said, "How many of you are you?" And they said, "Or what's your name?" And the devil said, "Well, we're a legion because there are lots of us." And he let them go into the hogs, the swine, the pigs. And they all ran over the cliff into the sea and drowned. Good illustration of that verse in the Bible that says, sin, when it is finished, leadeth unto death. When the devil gets inside of you and takes control, you end up destroying yourself like those pigs did. Then Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, comes and he begs Jesus to come to his house. He's got a little daughter, around 12 years old, that's sick, that's dying, that will die before Jesus gets there. And Jesus agrees to go. And I'll just be like Paul Harvey and tell you the rest of that story. She dies, but when Jesus gets there, he raises her from the dead and restores her to life. And on the way to Jairus' house, another event happens, an event that forms the basis of my message this morning. The healing of a woman, and Adam read part of her story, that had an issue of blood for 12 years. This morning I'm going to speak on the subject healed. Healed. The healing of this woman paints a wonderful picture of salvation. And this morning, our hearts and our minds are an empty canvas, and I'd like to take the Word of God and paint another picture on your heart and mind this morning of the wonderful love of a Savior, of the wonderful grace that God has for us, of the mercy that He gives to us as He saves each one of us. You know, people, when they came to Jesus, they came in different ways. They all, and I believe that the same groups of people that I'm going to mention are here this morning. There's a group of people that are here this morning that have come to touch Jesus, but they just want to touch him in a superficial way. They want to be exposed to him. They want to hear a message about him, but they'll be the group of people that gets up in a minute and leaves, and nothing will change in their life. There's another group of people here this morning that maybe you're here just by chance. Didn't plan on being here this morning, but through a series of circumstances, you ended up here. And you'll brush up against Jesus this morning, because every time you come to this place, you are going to brush up against Jesus. You can ask the people that come week after week. You brush up against them every time you come into this place. So yours is an inadvertent touch. Then there's others that come with a curious touch. Hey, what's it all about? What's the big to-do? Why do people gather on a Sunday morning at 11 o'clock? But then there's people like this woman, and there are some people like that here this morning that have a deep need in their life. They have something like Christina sung about, a thirst in their soul that only Jesus can satisfy. And if you're like that, if you're in that group this morning, I address my remarks to you. Everybody else can listen. If you'll listen, you'll get something out of the service. But I address my remarks to those that are here this morning that need something in their life, that if they'll let God work, will get up in about 15 minutes from now and have a change in their life. Their life can be different. And by the way, every single person here this morning, if you'll let the Holy Spirit work in your life, you'll get touched by Jesus and you will leave this place a different person. You will leave this place revived. You will leave this place loving your Savior a little bit more. In fact, let me just, if you're here this morning and you're saved, don't raise your hand, but just say a good hearty amen, would you? Amen. All right, and I hope that those that couldn't say it before we get done, you'll have the opportunity to have that same testimony. I want you to notice three things about this woman real quickly this morning. Number one, she was in a hopeless situation. She had had this issue of blood for 12 years, and of course, it affected her health. The Bible says that life is in the blood. And I don't know if it was a constant flow or every now and then, but her life essence was draining away. Her blood was flowing from her body. It left her weak and tired and listless. And the Bible says that she got worse and worse and worse and was none bettered. None better. Now, so it affected her health. It also affected her wealth, because the Bible says she suffered many things of many physicians. I've had a new realization of what that means. I had my physical a couple weeks ago, and they found some things they didn't like, and so they're running some tests. And I can, that phrase is the essence of my life the last 2 weeks. I have suffered many things from many physicians. And the Bible says, and just like in our day, doctors deserve their due, and so she spent all that she had. I mean, she spent her wealth, she paid for the doctors, and as her health was drained, so was her wealth. The Bible says in verse 26 that she spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. This condition that she had also affected her standing in society. You go back and you read in the book of Leviticus, when anybody, man or woman, had an issue of blood, they were separated from society. They had to live apart from everybody else, and everything they touched was considered unclean. And so for 12 years, this woman was losing her health, was losing her wealth, was not able to be with her friends, was not able to be with her family. She'd gone to doctor after doctor, and maybe doctor after doctor had offered her hope and said, "Oh yes, I've seen your condition before, and I can help you. I can cure you. I can heal you." But there was no help available. She tried everything that was known to man. She went to every doctor that she thought could help her, but she was nothing better. And at this point in her life, she had no hope of getting better. You know, she paints a good picture of every single person that's here in sin. She paints a good picture of every single person here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. She paints a good picture of every single person here that hasn't decided to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. You see, you're in the sickness of sin. You say, "Well, not me, Brother Darrell. Hey, I'm a pretty good guy." Well, you may be a pretty good guy, or you may be a pretty good lady, but I believe the Bible when the Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." I believe the Bible when it says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." You may be a pretty good person, but give me a couple minutes, and I think I can find at least one commandment that you've broken. We were talking to the kids this morning as we started up Sunday school, and we were talking about making the right decisions and talking about sin, and I gave them a couple of examples, and one of the little boys raised their hand and said, "Boy, that person broke all the Ten Commandments." And I said, "Well, maybe not all of them, but a good bunch of them. And if you want to know what a sinner is, it's breaking one of the Ten Commandments. It's doing something that God doesn't want us to do, or not doing something that God wants us to do. And the Bible says that we don't have to commit 100 sins or 1,000 sins or 1,000,000 sins to be a sinner. The Bible says if we're guilty of breaking the law or offending the law in one point, we are guilty of all. One sin makes us a sinner. One sin brings this sickness into our life. And every single person here this morning is a sinner. Now, some of us are saved. We sang it in Sunday school, saved by the grace of God. But there's other people here that are not. And so your sin, just like this lady's sickness separated her from society, your sin separates you from God. That's the penalty for sin. The wages of sin is death, not physical death, but spiritual death, being separated from the God that made you. "Hey, preacher, I don't think you should preach like that." Well, there's a lot of preachers that won't this morning. But I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to tell you not what you want to hear, but what you need to hear. Every single one of us are sinners. Some saved, some not. And we are separated from God, those of us that don't have our sins paid for. And everything we try on our own, just like this lady went to doctor after doctor after doctor, she got no better. Everything that we try ourselves makes us no better. You can join the church. You can get baptized. You can take the Lord's Supper like we did this morning. You know, not one of those things will save one hair on your head. Not one of those things will save one square inch of your body. You can get baptized, you can take the Lord's Supper, you can join a church, but you can still end up in hell because you've rejected Jesus Christ. And so she was in a hopeless situation, and she paints a good picture of every single one of us that are sick with sin without the cure that comes from God. Second thing I want you to notice is she came with faith. In verse 27, when she heard of Jesus, a good teacher, a good preacher, she'd heard the stories of what he'd already done. He'd taken 5 little pieces of bread and 2 small fish and fed 5,000 people. She'd heard the story of how he stood on a raging sea and said, "Peace, be still." And the wind and the waves were still. I mean, she'd heard stories. Oh, he can heal blind people. He can make lame people walk. He can make deaf people hear. He can make mute people talk. There was a man that had a withered hand, and he just told him to straighten it, to hold out his hand, and his condition was cured. And this lady said to herself, "No doctor's been able to help me. No treatment that I've been exposed to has been able to help me. Maybe Jesus can help me." And here's what she said. "If I can just get close enough to touch the hem of his garment, if I can just get close enough to touch the bottom of his robe, maybe it would help me." I'll ask you the question. Don't answer out loud, but just think with me for a minute. Was her faith perfect? No. Her faith wasn't even directed toward the right thing. Not the clothes of Jesus that healed people. It was the person of Jesus. But still, in her childlike faith, she came. With faith that was not perfect, she came. She came in a hopeless condition, thinking, "Maybe Jesus can help me." Again, some of you are here this morning, you don't know Christ as your Savior. You're in the same hopeless situation. There's nothing that any man can do to help you. There's nothing that you can do yourself to help yourself. You need to do the same thing as this lady did. You need to hear about Jesus. You need to hear that he was God's son. You need to hear that he was virgin born. You need to hear that he lived a sinless life when he walked the face of this earth. You need to hear that he allowed himself to be arrested and allowed himself to be nailed to a cross. And as he was nailed to that cross, you need to hear that God up in heaven took the sin of every single person that has ever lived or will ever live and took every one of our sins, the ones that we've committed and the ones we've yet to commit. And God took every one of my sins and every one of your sins. And as his son was nailed to the cross, God himself put all those sins on his son. And when Jesus died, he not only died physically, but he died spiritually. Because God, when he placed all of mankind's sin on his son, had to turn his back on Jesus and was separated from his son for the only time in all eternity. That's when Jesus cried out from the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" He suffered our hell for us. You need to hear that because the Bible still says, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Now, this morning, is your faith perfect? No. Is your faith mature? No. Is your faith big? No, it doesn't need to be. You need to have this simple childlike faith that this lady had. She said, "Oh, I've heard about him. I've heard he's healed blind people and he's made lame people walk. I heard about the time he calmed the storm. I think he could help me. I don't know for sure, but I think he could." That's faith. I mean, if she said, "I know he could help me. I've seen what he's done before. I know he could help me." That's not faith. The Bible says hope seen is not hope. If you can see something, why do you need to hope for it? If you got it, why do you need to hope for it? Faith is believing when you can't see. Faith is taking God at his word. Faith is trusting God enough to take that first step like this lady says, "I don't know if he can help me or not. He's helped other people. Maybe he can help me. If I can just get close enough to him to touch the bottom of his robe, maybe I'll be healed." That's the kind of faith you need this morning. Not a big giant faith, but a little childlike faith that heard about a Savior and is willing to come and just touch the hem of his garment. Just come and say, "Jesus, I don't know if you can save a sinner like me, but I'm going to try you. I'm going to try you." And then the third and last thing I want you to notice, she was healed. She was healed. She was part of the crowd that day, the press that was following Jesus. She slipped into that crowd and slipped up right behind him and put her hand forth and touched the hem of his garment. The Bible says, "And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. I mean, she not only got healed, she knew she was healed. She could feel it in her body. Now, some read the next few verses. The next few verses talk about Jesus asking, "Who touched me?" Because the Bible says he felt virtue leave his body. And people debate, well, did Jesus know what was going to happen? Did Jesus know what happened? Yeah, I think he did. But whether he did or not, I want you to notice that she was healed and she knew she was healed. The flow of blood stopped. The thing that was draining her wealth and her health and her social standing was healed. And the same thing will happen to us if we come to Christ. We need to come and say, "Jesus, I'm a sinner. I deserve to be an outcast. My sin separates me from you. There's nothing I can do to get better on my own, but I believe that you can help me. And I'm coming and asking for your help. I'm reaching out with that touch of faith, believing that you can save me from sin." You know, if you'll do that this morning, same thing will happen to you that happened to that woman. You'll be healed of the sickness of sin. You say, "You mean I'll never sin again?" No, I wish that's the way it worked. That's not the way it worked. We're still sinners. We still do things that God doesn't want us to do and don't do things that he wants us to do. But they're all under the blood. And I know there's some people say, "That's you Baptists. Once saved, always saved. It gives you a license to do anything you want to do." That's not right. Paul talks about it in the book of Romans. Should I continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. God forbid. I want to try to please my Savior. I want to try to make him proud of my life, as you do. But you'll be healed, and you'll know it. I'm glad that salvation is not a process. I'm glad we don't accept Jesus Christ and it takes us a little while to get saved. I'm glad when we ask Jesus to be our Savior, it happens just like that. Just like that. In an instant, in a twinkling of an eye. When you ask Jesus to be your Savior, he saves you, and you know it. You know it. The Bible says in 1 John, "These things are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life." And we can know it. And there are people all over this room that know they're on their way to heaven because they've asked Jesus to be their Savior. Now, what about you? What about you? Again, four groups of people in this crowd this morning. Some of you are here superficially. You've listened to a few things I've said, and a minute you'll get up and you'll leave, and nothing in your life will be changed. Those of you that came inadvertently this morning, in a minute you'll get up and you'll leave, and nothing will be changed. Those of you just curious as to what was going to go on this morning, well, you got your curiosity satisfied. You'll get up in a moment and nothing will be changed. But I believe there's some people in this room that are just like this woman this morning. They have a need in their life that only Jesus Christ can meet. And if you'll come with faith and say, "Jesus, I think you can help me. I think you can help me," he'll help you. He'll save you. He'll do in your life what only God can do. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for making the gospel so simple. Thank you for making it so simple that even the children back in the back room, as they hear it this morning, not the same story, but the same Savior, the same price of sin, the same opportunity to come and ask Jesus to be their Savior. I pray for them. I pray for us. I pray if there's just one person here this morning that doesn't know that Jesus is their Savior, doesn't know their sins are forgiven, doesn't know that they have a home in heaven because they've never asked Jesus to be their Savior, I pray this morning, Holy Spirit, that you would convict them, you would woo them, you would help them exercise that little faith that God has given to every person, and they would come. And we could take the Bible and we can show them from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. There's just one, Father, just one. Help them to make the decision this morning that will not only change the rest of their life, but change their existence for all eternity, because it'll make the difference between heaven and hell. Just bless this time of invitation. Use it to honor your kingdom and your glory. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.